Welcome to No Room for Phonies, episode 89.
Our recap with our conversation with Tabitha.
Yes, so we called that staying sane through motherhood, career, hurricanes. Anyway, yeah, we did it that way. So the big quote is that joy does not simply happen to us. We have to choose joy and keep choosing joy every day of our lives. Sorry, I just choked. And it's by Henry, N-O-U-W-E-N. So I'm going to say Nguyen.
Nguyen, yeah.
So, and I think that if you listen to Tabitha's, I'm going to sneeze. Sorry.
I'll edit that out. So okay. Start that sentence again.
So I think that if you listen to Tabitha's story, you will certainly see why that quote fit what I was talking about. And I think one of the things that hit me about listening to her was the importance of actually telling our stories to each other, like being vulnerable enough to tell our stories because of they raise awareness.
It helps people understand each other better.
Yeah.
I think we would have a lot less of the division if people listen to our human stories.
And I think it also just improves our quality of life when we share our stories. We feel better. We, you know, and it also starts building a stronger healing community, because one of the things she talks about a lot in the podcast actually is healing. And so we bring healing and freedom and perspective to life when we tell stories. It's the same as why I think it's important for people to read books. Is because when you read books, especially from history or from another culture or something, you're getting a whole different, you know, fresh
perspective
on things. And we reduce our shame and embrace our vulnerability. And she does talk about shame in the in the book. So,
and we have a couple episodes where we delved into shame and other emotions, maybe 12 or 16 episodes ago. So
very important to think about shame and think about not feeling shame, because it's very easy to fall into it. Like, there are things in your life that you can control and things that you can't control, and we shouldn't be feeling shame for things we can't control.
No, but there's a lot of pressure from loved ones and friends and perceived pressure from society to actually that make us feel ashamed.
Ashamed, right? Yeah. Even of things that we are totally without
control.
We are totally without control of. And then if you listen to the wedding story and you don't understand what it means to just take life as life comes, then you're not listening. Then you're not listening to the wedding story. So I really would encourage you, especially if you are like a bride-to-be or a mother of the bride-to-be, or you're going to be part of a wedding at some point, just take a breath and listen to her story, because, you know, she's still happily married with kids after all these years, you know, away from that story.
Yeah.
But it's a hugely crazy story. So, and when she does talk a lot about healing and growth and leaving shame behind and, you know, making a life that suits her life, her way of thinking and her moral compass and the things that she wants to do rather than, you know.
What struck me was the day by day, or sometimes hour by hour, or minute by minute, having to kind of stop and reset and, you know, think. Well, and I'm also reading that other book about conversations, but it talks about telling your story out loud and then thinking, can I tell this same story from a different perspective?
It's kind of like that third person thing where you kind of step outside the situation and look at it from what somebody else would
see.
And I think, you know,
and
as
then there's
we
facts versus interpretations.
Yes. Yes. And, the book that I'm reading, right, just finished reading, is called The Obstacle is the Way. And it basically talks about how life is just simply moving from one ordeal to the next. And so we have to find ways of finding joy within the little moments that continue to happen. So, and I think she really captures that in what she says and how she lives her life. And then there's a whole section on there on staying organized. So no excuses, keeping lists, renewing lists. So she is a very organized person, very much like organizes herself like I do and doesn't make excuses for, you know, and she talked, you talked about the fact that you have a hard time, you know, having a list and then you don't get everything done. Beating myself
up for not getting it done.
And she said,
she had worked through that.
She said it's a mindset.
Yeah.
And it is a mindset.
It does, a lot of this does come down to mindset again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's a whole big section in there about being organized and how to be organized and the importance of being organized. And I think one of the things that I took from hers is that she really does either the night before or the morning of make sure that she's got her day sorted.
Yeah.
So she doesn't just kind of blindly run into the day and hope it all works out.
Mm-hmm.
She has got it really sorted.
Well, and then when something interrupts the flow, then there's a way to still come back and recuperate and because there's a plan.
Right. And the other thing is she does talk about interruptions in her day and the whole idea of there are so many different ways of approaching something. So she is a writer.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's schools of thought where you sit down and write for 5 hours. It's your job. You do it. But I don't know how those people do it unless they can totally do it without being interrupted.
Well, I'm sorry. The only examples I've ever heard of that being successful are men who have man caves or little cabins in the woods and off they go for 5 hours and write. And then they come home.
Like a job.
Like a job. But it's men. They're not contributing to the household or doing anything else. I mean, there are exceptions from some of the male writers
There's a lot of different ways of approaching that.
But I mean, the one that she talked about, the 10-minute novelist, the woman who, I don't remember the name she said. Anyway, but moving away from thinking of writing a novel, I think if there's other projects that you want to accomplish around the house, I mean, obviously, there's not such a thing as the 10-minute painter because you can't paint for 10 minutes a wall in a house. Like, you have to block more time off.
But there's I often just sit and read for half an hour.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'm interrupted by things, but...
No, or but I would say
the, quilting, the a lot of things.
The 10-minute cleaning job, you could do...
100%.
You could dust a room in 10 minutes.
And the book I'm reading...
Declutter, if already the room is... In the routine of being decluttered, it would only take 10 minutes or less to get like 4 or 5 hot spots put away.
Well, the book I'm reading right now, I mean, it's very extreme, but it's called Lightly. And she's right now talking about how you...
declutter?
No, how when you have a lot of stuff, it's like what you do in an art show. There's the word. I can't think of the word. But anyway, you cut back on stuff. Like you really pull out things that you don't fit.
Oh, you curate.
Curate, that's the word.
Yeah.
You curate your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, she's very extreme, but she talks, the one hint that she has is to have this thing called the outbox. And it's just a cardboard box. If you want to make it fancy, you can, or it can be a plastic tub.
Yeah.
And when you pick up something and you think, I don't want this anymore. I don't understand why I still have this. You put it in that outbox right away. And I'm thinking of trying to put 5 things in the outbox every day.
Every day?
Because I could. Garments, socks, things that I don't need anymore.
Highlighters that are dried out.
Yeah, well, that's garbage.
you can recycle.
But anyway, that whole idea of just having this outbox where you put things that you don't know that you're not going to use again.
Right.
But anyway, it just gives you a whole lot of thought about actually staying organized and not making excuses about staying organized. Mm-hmm. And the idea of planning ahead, that really does help make it. Anyway, she gives lots of ideas about that. And then the final thing I just wanted to briefly talk about is just her perspective on being a mom and that it's kind of like the worst time of your life and the best time of your life. And I thought that was the most kind of honest perspective on motherhood.
They have two children and they're teenagers, one lower teens, one upper teens. So
one graduating, I think, from high school.
Yeah.
And it was funny, I met a woman at the park the other day when I was babysitting in Grimsby, and she had two little kids the same, like
mm-hmm. almost same age the same. Who you were caring for.
And she said, oh, it's just, you know, it's almost easier to go to work than to stay home and actually be a stay-at-home mom. And I said, yeah, 100% it is. And then it gets a little bit, my favorite years were kind of like from grade two to grade five or six,
yeah.
when it was, you had a little bit more mm-hmm. control and, you know, bedtimes were kind of more whatever, yeah. and it wasn't so intense. And then they hit grade like seven and eight and then high school. And then even young adults, right? Yeah. I mean, I feel we're very fortunate because our young adults are very independent. Like we do spend lots of time with them, but a reasonable amount of time with them.
And they haven't derailed their lives with any seriously bad choices. So that's also...
And they do talk about their choices with us, which I try not to, like, other than do a lot of listening and say what I would do, but making it clear that I don't care what they do.
Yeah.
So, but I do say that there's a lot about parenting that, you know, it is... so amazing. You wouldn't, you know, that, you know, it's an amazing experience. But if you, you know, when I look at young people now and they say they don't want to be parents, I would never push somebody into it because it's heavy. But that's anyway, so I would really highly recommend that you just listen. I didn't want to get into too many details, but I think we've sort of highlighted on what we kind of talked about with her. But
you'll laugh a lot more.
It's very fun. So for next time, I'm kind of toying with two things depending on people's
what we can schedule.
Time and what we can schedule.
So
but
we
I,
can't
I do
say much then, right?
Well, no, we might talk to the beekeeper guy and maybe his wife, who's an amazing gardener. That might be it. And I've also had conversation on Instagram, I think, with my friend Carly.
Oh.
And Carly has two children, and one of them has Down syndrome, and I thought it would be really interesting to talk to her about her perspective on advocating, because she is a really amazing advocate for her little guy.
All right.
So it might be one of those two. If we can't come up with anybody, it'll be you and I talking about something.
Okay.
So that's how it's going to go. So... take time to listen to our discussion with Tabitha, and don't forget to look up her website. It's really interesting, tabithahenrick.com, and it's been all over social media, so you should be able to find it, no problem, because she is more than just a creative. She is a wordsmith and an editor.
A knitting designer,
and so lots and lots of things. So have a look at her website, enjoy and laugh at her stories, and we'll see you next time on No Room for Phones.
Good night.